Very thankful for this opportunity God's given us to meet together here in his house. And I just want to tell the congregation how much I love Brother Aaron. And I appreciate his study and his love for God's holy word and for the Lord and for the church. You know, Brother Aaron came out of the pulpit and I said, that was just outstanding. You know what he said? He said, you like that, didn't you, Brother Ronnie? I like that, Brother Aaron. I can remember many years ago, Brother Aaron, I was a little older than you, and I was in a meeting, and there was a very good brother that had left the Pentecostals and had joined the Primitive Baptist, and they put him up before they put my daddy up. And he actually preached that Hebrews chapter 3 to a similar fashion as Brother Aaron was pointing to the other groups. And my daddy followed him and concentrated on that word if thou. And he preached that exactly like Brother Aaron preached it this morning. And Brother Aaron, the Lord has blessed you in the abundance of light and understanding in God's holy word. There's a couple of times you lost me, like revelatory and asymmetrical. See, Brother Aaron, I didn't learn to spell mayonnaise till I got into sixth grade. But I was glad I got on that field trip. Just all jokes aside, that was outstanding. It fed my soul and has encouraged me in the Lord. Please turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 32. I want us to read one verse, and there's a phrase, a question in this one verse that's actually only found in three places in the Bible. I could have said four, but there's two of those is referring to the same event, so I'm just going to say three. This conversation right here is taking place between the messenger of the Lord, angel of the Lord, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm convinced this is the eternal Son of God and a pre-incarnate visitation to his people. See, the Lord didn't begin at Bethlehem. That's when he came into the world of our viewing. There was times in the Old Testament, the Lord does as he pleases. He came to his children at their times of need and appeared to them. And in this particular portion of Scripture, he appears to Jacob, who's in a time of trouble in his life. And notice, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. If we could, just for a little while, let's concentrate on that question. What is thy name? If we begin in this chapter, you'll find that Jacob is very, very troubled. Back up a few chapters and you'll find that Jacob, who his name means a supplanter, he's a deceiver. He's an individual that's worked subtlety in his life. He's done a lot of tricks. Took advantage of his brother. And someone may say, well, Esau was a child of God, Brother Ronnie. You know, here in this world, we should show everyone respect. Believing they are a child of God or not does not change the fact we owe respect to God's creation. If I'm not showing someone respect as a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, I should be showing them respect as my brother in Adam, a fellow citizen of this earth that God made. Jacob took advantage of Esau in his time of hunger. And he told Esau, I tell you what, I'll give you some of my pottage, some of my soup that I've made here, if you'll give me your birthright, which literally would mean a larger inheritance of the authority of the household. And God had promised to give this to Jacob, but Jacob wouldn't wait on the Lord. He wanted to take it himself. Later in the book of Genesis, when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, Jacob was not going to wait on the Lord. He even got his mom to help him. And Rebekah helped Jacob helped him put some goat skins on his neck, cover his arms, made him some venison there, like it was Esau that would bring in to Isaac. And Isaac, he kind of knew this is not exactly right, but he just had confidence. And Jacob took advantage of that confidence of his father, and he got that birthright. When Esau found out what Jacob had done, he was angry, could not speak peaceably of him, and he was going to take his life. And Jacob's mother told him to flee. You flee from here and you go to Paddan Aram and be with my family there. Of course, he'd end up living with his uncle Laban. You know, that was the last time Jacob saw his mother. There's no evidence in Scripture that he saw his mother again. You know, sin has consequences. Jacob, he lived there in Paddan Aram for, it had to be over 20 years because he labored 14 years for Leah and Rachel. All the children that were born, I would say it at least had to be 20 to 30 years that he was there. But it came a time he was longing to go back home. Chapter 32, him just longing to go back home, he's still troubled and overcome with his past. And he knows there's someone there that was very angry at me when I left. Do you notice how time could not erase the wrongs that Jacob had done? Geography couldn't erase the wrongs that Jacob had done. And so you come a little later in the chapter, and Jacob, he goes to sleep, and now it's just him and the Lord. That's there. He's by himself. In his mind, he knows, I'm just by myself in this. I've got to face this by myself alone. And the Lord came to him, and the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with the Lord all that night. Isn't it good that God in his goodness will allow us to wrestle with him in prayer? Have you ever wrestled with the Lord in prayer? Been like those in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah would say, don't let him go until he established Jerusalem. Jacob wrestled with him in prayer. And he said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me and help me in this matter. And God asked him, he said, what's your name? What are you, Jacob? And Jacob, in his mind, he's realizing, I can't bargain and scheme my way out of this mess. I'm all alone and I can't fix this. And it's just me. He said, I'm just Jacob. I'm the schemer. I'm the one that's bargained his way through life. But God, I can't fix this one. It's beyond me. And ain't God good to help his children in those times of need? What is your name? My name is just Jacob. Have you ever been in prayer with the Lord and just had to confess, God, this is too big for me. It's too much for me. I can't handle this. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We'll find this question again. This is also found in Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8. And Mark chapter 5, you'll find just the chapter before the Lord told the disciples to get on a ship and go to the other side. Of course, there was a storm on that sea, and you know the Lord was on the ship with them, and they woke him. Carest not that we perish. He begins to point to their lack of faith. Little faith, no faith. Luke asked Jesus, said, where is your faith? I mean, Jesus told him to go to the other side. He's on the ship with them. I mean, should have been some confidence, right, Brother Aaron? But they lost that confidence. When they come to the other side, Matthew said there was two. Whether that was a man and his wife, a man and his brother, a man and his father, I don't know. It just says there was two. Mark and Luke concentrate on one. It was this wild man of Gadara. And he came and met Jesus in verse 2. And he had lived in the tombs, possessed with devils. People had tried to bind him with chains and fetters, but they couldn't bind him with chains and fetters. He'd break them asunder. No man could tame him. No man could help him. He would just live in the mountains day and night, crying and cutting himself just in torment. The Gospel of Luke said he'd be driven by the devils. That's being in possession of. And when he saw Jesus, he came and cried and ran and just fell at Jesus' feet. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that thou torment me not. Verse 9, Jesus asked him, what is thy name? This man, he said, you know, we're just legion because we're many devils. This man had been tormented so much and consumed so much. He was just identified and identified himself with the devils that controlled his life. How many times in my life have I saw, witnessed children of God in this case? Someone says, is it possible for a child of God to be possessed like in this time? The word possession does not mean to feel every fiber of the being. It means to control one's life. That's why Luke said he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. You know, if I'm in possession of a vehicle, I'm driving that vehicle. I'm in control of that vehicle. This man was tormented by this. You know, the devil does not torment the devil. Do you remember Jesus saying that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 and 25? If Satan's divided against Satan, his house shall not stand. Satan doesn't torment himself. He doesn't torment the wicked. Satan torments children of God. And this man and the one that was with him, whoever that other one was, I don't know, they're being tormented and possessed and controlled to the point that this man, he cuts himself with lances. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have an answer. People tried to bind him with chains and fetters, and it couldn't tame him. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with parents that had maybe teenage kids that got themselves into trouble, couldn't stay out of the trouble, and mama would look at me and say, I wish I could just lock them in their room. But they couldn't bind them. My little brother had got himself once in so much trouble with alcohol and different things in this world. My mama cried. She said, I wish I could just lock him in his room, bind him. But he was being controlled by the ungodliness. And Jesus asked him, what's your name? I'm just the devils. How many children of God have been troubled so much by the things of this world? Alcoholism, drugs, the ungodliness of this world. What's your name? You know, the first step in really getting better is admitting the big problem, right? I'm an alcoholic. Is that not what they require you to say? You got to say it. It's controlling me. I'm a drug addict. It's got control of me. This one, Jesus said, what's your name? He asked Jacob, what is your name? What is your name? And it was at that time they could probably look up and see Jesus as the one that could help them in their time of need. Have you ever had things in your life that were just too big for you, child of God? Wow, me, yes. Things get too big for me in a hurry. Man, those giants of Anakin, I mean, they scared the children of Israel there in Numbers 13. There's some giants that scare me in my life. I know it's too big for me. They didn't trust God. But I'm hoping these portions of Scripture will encourage you as it encourages me. When things are too big for me, I have someone that's bigger than them. Amen to that. And that's Jesus. What is your name? Man, this brother here in Mark chapter 5, didn't he enjoy something great from the Lord? You know what Jesus told him to do? Go home and tell your friends what? No, how great things God has done for thee. I mean, there's a lot of people enjoying the what, but they're not able to tell the how. Right, Brother Aaron? How God has done great things for me. I tell you how. It was too big for me, but it was not too big for him. I've got big problems, but hallelujah, I got a big God in heaven that's able to handle my problems. What is your name? You know, the Gospel of Luke records a lot of situations where things were just big, difficult, and children of God failed God. You know, Brother Aaron made reference there in Luke chapter 3 of those that failed God. They didn't believe God. Wow, that's been my experience. I look back in my life and, wow, I have just failed God over and over, dear child of God. But in all those cases where I failed God, God never failed me. Luke chapter 1, there was a man named Zacharias. His wife's Elizabeth. She and Mary are first cousins. Zacharias, he's there laboring, daily priest at the temple. He goes into labor and, man, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. You know what he said? You're going to have a child. And that child, you're going to name him John. And he's going to be great in Israel. And he's going to prepare that way of the Lord. He's going to preach the Lord's coming, baptize people, point us all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which shall take away the sin of the world. And what did Zechariah do? Verse 18 of Luke chapter 1. Whereby shall I know this? This can't be. I'm an old man. My wife's an old man. You know what? What is your name, Zacharias? He's an unbeliever. Would you say that? I heard someone say, well, believing is really the only evidence that we have that we're the children of God. There's a lot of evidence that Zacharias is a child of God, but he's not believing God like he should. Amen to that. How about you, dear child of God? Can you look back in your life and see evidence of grace, but have you always believed God like you should? I have to say, I fail God. I look back in my life, I just have to say, God, it's been times. My name is an unbeliever. I haven't believed you like I should. Verse 57, when Elizabeth's full time came, she brought forth that son and was delivered. And they begin to ask, what's going to be his name? Man, Zechariah said, give me something to write on. He can't speak. He lost his tongue. And I'm going to tell you, not trusting in God will cost us something. He wrote his name should be called John. Nobody in your family's named John. I'm going to tell you why his name is John. God said his name should be called John. And immediately his tongue was loosed. And I'm sure if somebody would ask Zechariah, what's your name? My name's Zechariah, but I've been an unbeliever. But I'm not a believer now. I believe in God's help, and I believe God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't you think Zechariah's attitude toward the Lord changed a little later in the chapter than it did at the first of the chapter? Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. When you read Luke chapter 5, you've got to compare this back to Matthew chapter 4 when the Lord's walking there by the Sea of Galilee. You got Peter and Andrew and James and John. You know, the Lord, he began to teach. And notice in verse 2 of Luke chapter 5, his two ships are there. Matthew said there were some mending their nets, some washing their nets, casting nets. Jesus entered into one of the ships. It was Simon's ship, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. I want to tell you, the Lord, man, he had a powerful voice, didn't he? I've heard people say, that preacher preaches too loud. Man, I bet you the Lord was preaching loud. But he got in a ship out at sea and they could hear him on the land. That was speaking with some authority. He sat down and began to teach the people out of the ship. And now we had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out a little in the deep and let down your nets. Nets, notice nets. For a draw, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I can tell you're a great teacher. At thy word, we will let down the net. Do you know there's no mistakes in this Bible? You need to pay attention to every little thing in the Bible. Marks, punctuation, letters. Jesus told him to let down the nets. Nets. I'll let down a net. We've told all night, hadn't caught anything. I know you're a great teacher, but look, I'm an experienced fisherman. I just to make you happy, I'll let down a net. But all these others I've washed, I'm not letting them down. When all this is done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and it break their net. Wow, the Lord could put more in one net than they could get in all their nets. And they beckon into the partners. That's James and John. You need to come help us. And when Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But see, all this let Peter know, this is not just an ordinary person he's talking to. Not only does this man speak with authority, this man's got power over all things in creation. And he said, just depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be here with you. Just depart from me. I'm a sinful man. What is your name, Peter? My name's Peter, but I'm a sinful man. What's your name, Zechariah? I'm just an unbeliever. I should believe more. God, I should have done what you told me to do. I look back in my life. There's been times God has told me to do things, but I haven't done as God said. I'm a sinful man. I haven't done as you told me to do. But isn't God good? Even when this man's a sinful man, and fixing what he's done is too big for him, it's not too big for Jesus. And Jesus used Peter and blessed Peter, and Peter enjoyed fellowship with the Lord. What is your name? Luke chapter 7. There's a man that's a centurion. One of the two people in the Bible Jesus said had great faith. They were both Gentiles. You can read Matthew chapter 8 and other accounts of this centurion. He's got a servant that's sick, is ready to die. Wouldn't this a caring man to be concerned about his own servant? And he sent to ask Jesus to come and heal him. And the people said, you know, this man is worthy and should do this for him. He's done so much for the people here in Israel. But you know what his answer was to the Lord? His answer is, I am not worthy. Notice in verse 3, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation. He hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends unto him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. What's your name? I'm just a man that's not worthy. I'm not worthy. I know you're great. He was confident he's God because he said, just speak the word only. I know you can just speak the word and it'd be done. Jesus said, I hadn't found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. But this man, because Jesus is his God and Jesus is his Savior, it's not that he was worthy of his own self and his own works, but he was made worthy to receive the blessing of God by God's love and eternal grace. What's your name? My name is just, I'm not worthy. Luke 22. We find Peter again. And you know, Peter's the man sometimes that gets excited about himself. The Lord told him again here that he was going to be leaving. As soon as he says that, they said, well, who's going to be in charge after you're gone? Jesus reminds him again, he that's first shall be last. He that's going to be great in the kingdom of God, let him be your servant. Because you'll all deny me. Man, Peter begins to speak up and brag about himself. And you know what the Lord said? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter said in verse 3, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Though all will deny you, I won't. I'm ready to go. I think he was serious. But I don't think he waited all out. And Jesus said, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice. A little later in this chapter, he did. 1, 2, 3. And you'll find that the Lord looked on him. Notice in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Don't you know those eyes cut him to his soul? Verse 62, Peter went out and wept bitterly. What's your name, Peter? I'm just a man that denied the Lord. Don't you know he felt that in his heart? I'm just the man that denied the Lord. But ain't God good in John 21 to spend time with Peter and ask him over and over, you love me? Do you love me? And restore Peter to service and restore his heart. He'd be the chief speaker on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, I've denied the Lord, but the Lord never denied me. And God even loved me when I denied him. And my denial of him did not change his love for me. And by his help, in his temporal grace, as Paul would say, I am what I am. Chapter 23, you got a man who's hanging on the cross beside Jesus. At one time, he was had the same as the other thief in his teeth, but something happened to this man. Verse 41, he said, what we're in and this condition, this is just. It's just that I'd be here on this cross and suffer. I have done wrong. And he looks over to the Lord and said, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. What is your name? I don't know what this man's name is, but I think I could gather, I'm a justly condemned sinner. I think he'd been happy to bear that name. I'm just a justly condemned sinner. I deserve hell. I deserve everything I'm getting. But not him. Jesus does not deserve what he's getting. But hallelujah, the one on that cross in the middle was suffering the sins of the one beside him. The one on the cross in the middle had done no wrong. The other had, but Jesus loved him so much, he suffered his wrongs and gave him his right. Yeah, what is your name? I'm a justly condemned sinner, but by the grace of God, I'm righteous before the Father in heaven. Luke 24, the people were slow of heart to believe in Jesus, and Jesus, he called them a bunch of fools. Oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe in verse 25. What is your name? I bet they'd have said later, man, we've been a bunch of fools. We forgot all the promises of God and what he said. He told us that he would rise from the grave. But those people that they could call them their names, a bunch of fools. Been foolish in my life. They enjoyed fellowship with the Lord because of his goodness. Turn with me really quick to the book of Judges chapter 13, the third place. There was a man, his name was Manoah. He and his wife, and they were without child. And the Lord came to this barren woman, to this man. And the Lord did a miraculous work, and she conceived and would bear a son. His name would be Samson. Wow, he would do great things in Israel, would he not? Notice in verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I'm convinced this is another pre-incarnate visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Abraham had a visit, just like Joshua had a visit from the Lord, just like the three Hebrews got the visit from the Lord in that fiery furnace. Yeah, what is your name? What is thy name? Verse 17, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, that's the messenger of the Lord. You know, Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. He said, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? If you go to the center column of your Bible, that secret literally means he that doeth wonders. Remember Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's full of wonders. Brothers and sisters, when I examine myself, what is my name? I haven't believed like I should. I haven't done like I should. I know I'm not worthy of God's goodness. I know I'm a justly condemned sinner. I know I have denied the Lord in my life. And I know I've been a foolish man. But I got a great friend in heaven on the right hand of the Father. And that friend loves me like his own soul. And he came into the world and he died for all of my sins on the cross of Calvary. And my unbelief, my sin, my unworthiness, my denial of him, my condemnation I right deserve, and my foolish actions does not change how much he loves me. And because of him and his great help, I can continue on until that day I see him in heaven. What is your name? Well, my name doesn't matter anymore. All that matters to me is the name of Jesus
And may I be found glorified in his name as long as I have breath until that day he comes to take me home to glory. And we'll be there with all the saints of God singing the praise of Jesus Christ, our Savior.